Sister Dale. I appreciate you tonight. I'm going to do something I don't normally do. Our family is faced with a little something that on the verge of upsetting me spiritually. And I know you'll understand, but our daughter-in-law, Reza, is going through some things right now. And I'm not one to mince words. She is being attacked by the enemy. But he picked the wrong one. There are things that are trying to pull her down into depression and other things, and it's come on rather suddenly. But I know the work of our enemy. I've seen it so many, many, many times. And I also know the power of my God. And so I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a minute. We're going to lift her up before the Lord in prayer tonight. And we're going to take authority over this in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. And we lift up Reza Cooley before you tonight, Lord. Right where she is right now, Father, I pray a hedge of protection around her. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that your spirit somehow, some way will break through the blackness and the darkness that has encapsulated her mind. The spirits that seek to pull her down into depression, we take authority in the name of Jesus. We take authority by the word of God in Jesus' holy name. Satan, we rebuke you. You're a liar. And we command you in the name of the Lord to remove your hands from her. And God, put her mind and her spirit in perfect peace. Father, the peace that passes all understanding, not the peace that man can give, but the peace that only comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that she will be submissive to the will of God. I pray, Lord, that her heart and her mind will be given over to you, that you may have your eternal way. Father, we're believing you to do it tonight in Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. It was just on my mind. I had to do what I feel the Lord wants me to do. So, hallelujah. You may be seated for just a moment. I want to preface this word tonight by saying you may not like me when we're done. But I'll tell you this. That's because I'm used to ducking. You have to love me to get to heaven, so you might as well start now. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I will give you a moment to find that. 2 Samuel is between 1 Samuel and 1 Kings. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Oh, some of you have heard me before. If you would, please stand when you find that tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. It says, "And it was told King David, saying, The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And as the mark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord." Would you bow your heads? Father, tonight I pray, as I have all week long, that your Holy Spirit would come and clasp your hands around this auditorium tonight. As I pray, Lord, I ask that you would drive out every spirit that be unreceptive to the Word of God. I pray you would drive out every spirit that is not of Christ. I pray that your Holy Spirit, from person to person in this place tonight, would flow and move and operate as you see fit. For we have not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that the Word of God may be effectual and fervent in the hearts and the minds of we, your people. Now I pray, Lord, that you would stir a fire in us, a fire that would not soon go out, a fire that would withstand the plagues, a fire that would withstand the fiery darts of the enemy, a fire, O God, that would withstand all the demons and the devils of hell and the darkness that surrounds the church of the living God in these last days. And I pray, O God, that you would strengthen your people with might that is by the inner man, O God, that is by the Holy Spirit tonight, we pray. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor for these things. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, I have preached on this particular portion of Scripture I don't know how many times, and it's a little different each time. The Lord seems to bring something out each time we go over it. So you're going to hear some familiar things, but hopefully tonight the Lord will speak to you right where you are. You heard it this morning and many other times before, that God's eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open unto their cry. God sees exactly where you are right at this very moment. He knows exactly what is surrounding you. He knows what is happening. He knows things that are going to happen that you don't know are going to happen. God sees all and He hears all and He knows all. And I want you to know tonight, before we get any further, that God, if you love Him, has you in the palm of His hand. And there is nothing that the enemy can do that can pluck you from the hand of the Lord. So we know this story quite well. I thought for a moment this morning, Pastor was going to get into my message a little bit. Wouldn't have bothered me a bit. I just figured the Lord knows what He's doing. We talked about the Ark of God this morning. And I know I've gone to great detail in times past to explain this to you, but to shorten it tonight as best I can, the Ark of God represents, or actually it was the virtual representation of the very presence of God. So unlike things that are made by the hands of men, this was instructed by the Lord from the get-go. It was the place that God would choose to dwell in this earth. I need you to let your mind sink around that a little bit. It was the place that God chose to dwell here in this earth. As big a God as He is, He would dwell in something as minute and small as the Ark of the Covenant. But that's the glory of God. And so when we talk about the Ark of God tonight, I want you to please keep it in mind that we are referencing the very presence of God Himself. I'm going to try to bring out just exactly what the Lord has given me. We all know the story. I think it was 70 years the Ark of God was forsaken. 70 years. Since the Philistines stole it from the temple of the Lord, and it brought unmentionable horrors into their lives because they did that. We've talked many times before about how David, when he became king, one of the first things he sought to do that was of major proportion was to liberate the city of Jerusalem, first of all, which later became the city of David. And the second thing that he would do would be to go after the Ark of God. And the phrase was given because they did not inquire of it at all during the years that Saul had reigned as king in Israel. When I think about this tonight, my mind is it goes a little numb. I don't understand how in the world that the nation of Israel, who was brought into existence by this same God, could forsake the very presence of the Lord, abandoned in a field, it tells us in Psalm 132, I believe it is, in a field behind the house of Abinadab. How in the world Abinadab lived in that house knowing that the Ark of God was in his backyard, weeds growing up around it and things, which the Bible says that it was not taken care of. And we can look at that and we can say, how dare he? And yet here we are, part of the last day church of Jesus Christ. And how often does the very presence of God sit in our backyard somewhere with weeds growing up around it, and it's not being tended to, and it's not being cared for? And you would say, but Brother Cooley, that's not possible. We go to church every week, and we go to midweek service on Wednesday, and you know, we're doing just about all that we can do. And I'm here tonight to tell you that that doesn't mean a hill of beans. It doesn't mean anything in the sight of God when the presence of God Himself is abandoned in your backyard with weeds growing up around. I was praying the other day and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, there's a few things I don't understand. I know that your Bible says that you're coming back after a church in the last days that is without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle. A church that is the befitting bride for the bridegroom, all dressed in garments pure and white. And this is the kind of church that you're coming back after. And I look at the church as we see it now and I say, God, how is that possible? We are rife with so much personal distress that we brought upon ourselves because we've neglected your presence. We are surrounded by demons and devils that find great joy in afflicting our households, in afflicting our spouses, in afflicting our children, in afflicting those that we love because we have forsaken your presence and left it unattended. Sicknesses have come upon our bodies. Many of us are suffering with ailments and we pray and we can't find an answer to, when really the answer all along is sitting in the backyard with weeds growing up around it. I'm trying hard not to look at anybody. I don't have any one particular person in mind, probably a whole group. You'll get that later. And I asked the Lord, I said, how in the world are we going to get from where we are when we're in an age when they don't want preachers like us anymore?
We're in an age where they don't want churches like this anymore. They want to paint everything black, and they want to shut off the lights, and they want to put in their strobing disco lights, and they want to put in their smoke machines, and they want to bring in their glib tongue so-called preachers that get up and all they do is teach, and all they do is talk, and all they do is motivate, and really the truth of the matter is all they really do is twist and contort the Holy Scriptures, and all they really do is teach false doctrine, and all they really do is bring the people into a pasture that's supposed to be greener when really it is poison and it's killing them and they don't even realize it. God, how are we going to get from where we are to where you said you were going to be in these last days? And the Lord began to remind me that the work that he was going to do in these last days was going to be a quick work. And the quick work that the Lord began to lay out to me when I was beginning to formulate this thing for tonight's service, and the Lord began to inspire my heart as to what to say and what to do, and I'm going to make a statement, and I don't ever want you to forget it. Your personal victory is tied to your personal pursuit of God. I'm going to say it again. Your personal victory is tied to your personal pursuit of God.
I was going somewhere. I don't even remember where we were going. Jonathan was with me, and we don't get a lot of alone time to talk. And we were talking about some things, and he's got some friends that are on the fence, and so I was asking him about it and things like that, and he said that he was trying to witness to some of them and tell them about the right way to live and get out of these bad churches and churches with bad word and bad music and bad everything. And I guess one of his friends piped up and said to him, "Well, you know, John, the Lord knows my heart." Another day, he was at work, and he was listening to one of his bosses, and one of his bosses was talking to somebody about, oddly enough, some of these things, and he said he believed that one day when he stood before God, that God knows his heart, and because God knows his heart and his good deeds, he felt like everything was going to be fine. And because I am who I am, I couldn't keep my mouth shut. And I said, "Well, I want to tell you something, John, and I want you to tell them the same thing. When we stand before the Lord, we are not going to be judged by the content of our heart. What is in our heart is not going to matter, not one bit. Whatever is in our mind, whatever motivations we have, whatever good deeds we have done, aren't going to amount to nothing, because when we stand before the Lord, the Bible says that we are going to be judged by the Word of God, not by whatever's in your heart. And so take this back to them and tell them this thing." And I no more said that, and the Holy Spirit began to work on me while I was sitting there in the car, and he began to open up this word about David to me, and he began to say this again. He said, "Listen, when David began this whole thing," and we'll call it ministry for the lack of a better term, "when David began his ministry, he started off doing all the right things, and he had all the right motives, and he was following the right plan, and he was trying, bless his heart, to follow God everywhere he went. It was of David that God said he was a man after God's own heart. It was David that the Bible names and likens Jesus to the Son of David. It is the throne of David upon which Christ, the risen Lamb, will sit for all of eternity." So David's important to God. And yet we've come to a place in David's walk with God where for a moment's time he took for granted something so important and something so powerful and something so liberating, the presence of God. Bible says that David purposed. He was pursuing God. David purposed to go after the ark of God. Let me explain that just a touch. David was just a young boy when God first began to deal with him on the hillsides of Bethlehem, as he would
tender his father's sheep, and he would break out his little instrument and he would play songs on those hillsides as the sweetness of the presence of God would move upon him. There was a time when a bear came out of the thicket and caught up one of the little lambs that David was watching in his mouth. And David, under the power of God, suddenly rose up, and the Bible says that he grabbed that bear and split his jaws open and rescued the lamb, and the bear was defeated. There was another time while David was watching the sheep that a lion came out of the thicket as well and caught one of the sheep in his mouth. And the Bible says that David grabbed that old lion by the beard and slew him. You understand what I'm talking about tonight? There have been times and there have been seasons where the power of God moved upon David. And I'm sitting here tonight amongst a group of people, and I'll tell you by faith that I believe there's been times and there's been seasons that you and I have experienced the power of God in one way or another. It might not have been a lion like David faced. It might not have been a bear like David faced. But we've got our own giants and we've got our own monsters that we've had to deal with and tangle with. For some it's been demon spirits. For some it's been darkness. For some it's been the cruelty of mankind. And I'm here tonight to tell you it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is you're here tonight because the hand of God was with you. He brought you out. He brought you through. He brought you up. And He's going to continue to carry you if you will not leave Him abandoned. David was going to get the ark. You can read it there in it's in Chronicles. It's in 2 Samuel. And it says that David consulted with thousands of people, with captains of thousands, and he sat down with this big thing, and they all thought it was a great idea that they were going to go after the ark of the Lord. And so David, at great expense, went and emptied out every singer he could find, every musician that he could find, and he brought them all to the place. There was going to be a great big parade. There was going to be fanfare. There was going to be music. There was going to be all of this splendor that was going on. And David was going after the very presence of God. And the Bible says that because he consulted with the captains of thousands and the captains of all these different large numbers of people, and it seemed good in their sight to do this thing. And David went after it. And so they went after it and they built this new cart. And I don't have time to preach as I've done before on new carts. But the church is full of new carts tonight. And they built this new cart, and they had a group of them that got a hold of the ark of God, and they set it up on this new cart, and they were going to go down the road. So there was great music, and there was great singing, and there was great fanfare, and there were trumpets that were blaring, and all of this was going on. But somewhere along the road, the oxen found a pothole in the road, and they stumbled, and the ark shook, and one foolish person put forth his hand, and he touched the ark of God, and the Bible says that God smote him dead on the spot. We know, we look at that and we say, that seems awful harsh. After all, the oxen stumbled and it shook. And if God can care for His own presence in an abandoned field somewhere, I don't think a shaky cart's going to do Him any harm. But the fact of the matter is for this moment in time, David and the men that were with him, they took light. Or they took for granted what they were doing. It was, say it in the right way. My mind went to the Apostle Paul was preaching, Paul and Silas, and they were preaching the Word of God, and God was moving, and they come to this little town, and out come this little damsel that helped the men that made idols and such, and she was a seer, and she could see things, and so people would flock to them, and she came out to where Paul and Silas and them were preaching the gospel, was saying that followed them around for days at a time and said all of these amazing things about them. People pay attention to these men. They show unto us the way of salvation, and on and on and on she went. Everything she said was right. Everything she said was truthful. And then one day the Bible says that the Apostle Paul turned around and rebuked Satan. Which caused a stir in the town. And all of a sudden the foreseers and the people that made idols wanted to leap on these boys and stone them and kill them and do all kinds of harm to them. And it dawned on my mind, even though that girl had the right words, and even though she had the right sayings, and everything she said was right, she was still not in the right spirit. Everything David tried to do with the ark, he did right. He had the porters, he had the musicians, he had the singers, he had everything lined up. Everything was beautiful, everything was in great array, but for a moment's time he took light the presence of God. And God smote a man dead for it. The Bible goes on to say that David became angry that day with the Lord. I don't want to ask how many times you've been angry with God because you were trying to do something good and something bad happened. We won't take a show of hands tonight of how many times you got mad because you prayed prayers and God didn't answer. Instead, something even worse happened. And the Bible said that David got angry with the Lord. Was listening, it's been over a series of months and things of preachers saying certain things, and I hear a frustration and I hear an aggravation in the voice of old time Pentecostal preachers that are almost on the verge of giving up because they say it's getting to a place to where it's just not worth it. There are so many that are against us. They won't let us preach. They won't let us sing our songs. They won't let us do the things that we know is right to do. What in the world are we supposed to do? How in the world is my little church supposed to grow? How in the world are we supposed to effectuate the gospel of Jesus Christ upon a lost and a dying world? How in the world? And they're getting frustrated and they're getting angry because they've been praying about it for a long time and they haven't seen the results. And yet the church world around them at large is growing bigger and bigger all the time, and mega churches are popping up all over the place, and they're getting aggravated and they're getting frustrated and they don't understand. And the Holy Spirit began to speak to me, and he said the reason they're getting frustrated and the reason they're getting aggravated is because even though they're wanting the right thing and even though they're saying the right thing, they have not gone about it the right way. And the right way is still to go and to get your hands on the presence of God and to bring it into its rightful place. And only then, in the church of today are we going to see a move of God. I hear it all the time. I'm looking for a move of God. I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for God to do this and to do that. I'm here tonight to tell you it's not going to happen. Not until you and I understand what it is we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a parade. We're not dealing with some old-fashioned fanfare. But what we are dealing with is the ultimate. We are dealing with the ark of God. We are dealing with the very presence of God himself. And for a better term, in today's new covenant order, it is none other than the presence of the Holy Spirit that we are to be seeking after. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? It is not a lost and a dying way. I don't care what they say. Pentecost is not dead. I don't care what they say. Because as long as I've got breath in my body, and as long as I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb, and as long as I am filled with the Holy Ghost, then I will speak in other tongues. And I will pray in tongues. And I will sing in tongues. And I will pray before the Lord. And the Lord that hears me will answer my prayers. And God will move. But I must understand that it is the very presence of God that we are to be pursuing. It's not a church. Not an organization. I don't know if you have you heard from some of these. Maybe I shouldn't. I know I'm in an Assemblies of God. I guess I'm too old to be careful. I can't believe some of these jackboot leaders, they say. Want to hide and pedophiles and molesters, and they all they want to do is kick it under the carpet. I don't know, maybe you haven't heard. It's Assemblies of God. But I got news for them. It's not just the Assemblies of God. It's the Assemblies of God. It's the Church of God. It's the Four Square. It's the Nazarene. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? It's not just one. They're all lumped in there the same together. And the problem is the same. They have forsaken the Holy Spirit. The problem is the same. They have forsaken the very presence of God. They do not reverence it. They do not respect it. They do not understand it. And when God does, out of His grace and mercy, move every once in a while, maybe in just a little way to try to start a fire, they take off in their flesh and they get everything out of whack. And before long, they got one of these monkey-see-monkey-do churches. I'll have to tell you about that later. And I look at these things and it's disheartening. But the Lord keeps bringing my attention back to what we began reading this, where David got mad at the Lord and he became afraid of God that day. The Bible says, well, that's the beginning of wisdom right there. He became afraid of God. David was afraid to touch the ark. Oh, they touched it when they put it on the new cart. But since God smote that man dead in the middle of the road, they no longer wanted to touch the ark. They became afraid of God. Smart. You should be afraid. But the end of our journey should not end at being afraid of God and walking away from His presence because we're afraid to touch it anymore. The Bible says that they turned it aside into the house of Obed-Edom. I don't know what it is about him. The Bible doesn't even say much about where Obed-Edom came from or what was going on with his life, but I like him already. Because the Bible says when the ark of God was turned aside into the house of Obed-Edom, something happened. One day a man died in the street because he put his hand to the ark. But the very next day the ark was in another man's house and all of a sudden blessings began to flow. The Bible says that God blessed Obed-Edom and all that pertained to him. I've grown to love that phrase. All that pertained to him. I sat in my office a few days ago weeping under the presence of the Lord. And I said, God, all that pertains to me. You don't know what that means. And I'm telling you, when you pray these things and you truly believe them, you're going to have a fight on your hands. The enemy's going to pop his head up. But I prayed it and I said, God, I don't want it just for me, but all that pertains to me, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my family, God, those that I like and those I don't, and all that goes on, everything that pertains to me. I said, God, I want your blessings. I want your favor. I want you to bless me on the job. I want you to bless me in the home. I want you to bless me when I'm going here, when I'm going there. I said, Lord, you already know my rising up and my laying down. You know my coming in and my going out. You already know every opportunity that you have to bless me. And I'm asking you, Lord, everything that pertains to this preacher, I want you to bless because I want the ark of God. I want the presence of God. There were those that did not show respect and reverence to the presence of God. And men died because of it. And then on the other hand, we have those that showed reverence and respect to the presence of God, and God's blessings flowed. I'll say it again. I began this message tonight by telling you, your personal victory is tied to your pursuit of God. I don't know where you're at tonight in your walk with the Lord. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what's been going on. I try not to. It's not my business. But I've come by tonight under the unction of the Holy Spirit from the Lord tonight to tell you your personal victory, whatever it is that you're needing God to do, whatever it is that you're needing victory over. So, and then the Lord told this to me. He said, there's been some people that have been praying about some things for an awful long time, and they've not yet got an answer. He said, I want you to tell them tonight that their personal victory is tied to their pursuit of me. When we get to a place where going to church is not just some task that we've got to do, but we want to be there. When we get frustrated over the pastor canceling a Sunday night service because of this or that or the other. I'm probably talking in a small corner there with that one. Like children waiting for a snow day to be called at school. Oh, it's Phoenix. It's raining. Maybe Pastor cancer. But when you are in pursuit of God, you want to be there. Nobody got to twist your arm. It doesn't matter what else comes up or the excuses we have. Well, you know, I'm old. And it's dark outside. What, are you scared of the dark? You know, and my eyesight's not what it used to be. Get in a prayer line somewhere. Let's pray. Getting quiet, Lord. Well, I got enough energy when I get up on a Sunday morning, coming on a Sunday night, that's a little harder. Get in a prayer line somewhere and let's pray. Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Cooley, I got all these other things going on. That's the problem. You've got all these other things going on. And you're too, I didn't come to plug Sunday night service, but here we are. You got a lot of things going on, I understand. Where's God in your priorities? And don't give me that excuse that God knows my heart, because we've already had that conversation. What are your priorities? Are you going to be like David? Do you want the presence of God more than you want anything else? I'll be honest with you. Pastor, I'm going to look down at the floor when I say this. I get frustrated when we go through a service and I don't feel like we felt enough of the presence of God to. I go home and I kick the chair. And I'm telling the truth. And I go into my office and I'll sit there and sometimes I'll just pout. I'm frustrated. I say, Brother Cooley, come on now. I tell you the truth. I'm so hungry for His presence. I don't want anything else. I don't care about the special services, this and that. I don't care. I want the presence of God. Did you hear me tonight? I'm talking about pursuing God. My personal victory is tied to my pursuit of God. And if I'm going to have the victory that I need, then I'm going to have to climb down off of my pride horse and I'm going to have to get hungry for God like I've never been hungry before. And I'm going to have to want His presence like I've never wanted it before. And I'm going to have to desire Him like I've never desired Him before. My personal victory is tied to my pursuit of God. I don't understand David. I read this passage and I get mad at David. David, you saw the power of God come down. You saw him kill that man dead in the middle of the street because it was against God's law to touch the presence of God with the flesh. It's a whole other message. You saw that. And then word came to you while you were pouting around and being angry with God that God was blessing Obed-Edom hand over fist and he didn't know what to do with all the blessing and favor that God was giving. Boy, that's a problem I'd like to have. 3 months, the Bible says this was going on. For 3 months, David was pouting in his own, wallowing in his own mire, wallowing in his own filth, because that's what it is. Wallowing in his own pride, in his own self-absorption. But yet deep in David's heart, there was something that clamored for the presence of God, which is why he went after it in the first place. His head chief soldiers come to him and said, David, we've been watching this guy for 3 months and we don't know what else to tell you, but every time the man turns around, God's blessing him. He had a wayward son, a wayward daughter. He had something going on there. And we don't know what happened, but all of a sudden she's come into the ark of safety. He's come into the ark of safety. He had a wife that was full of her own self-righteous indignation. But ever since the ark of God came into his house, she has been a picture of grace. Oh, God, give us more pictures like that. He had a problem with his temper. He couldn't seem to get it under control. But ever since the ark of God came into his house, he has been beaming. And we can't explain it. We pulled up to his house. We took the ark into his house. His garden out back, it was run down. It didn't look like he was tending very good to it. All beat down and rubbish looking. But ever since the ark of God came into his house, his garden is overflowing. I mean, he's got fruits and vegetables we ain't never seen the light before. We can't explain it. All we know is ever since we took the ark of God into his house, something has happened. Something has transpired. Something has changed. I want to use that word again. When the ark of God came into the house of Obed-Edom, something changed. And you and I are sitting here week after week after week after week, and we're begging God for some change. We need change. We need you to change this. We need you to change that. We need you to change this. And all the while, the answer is right in our own backyard with weeds growing up around it. The answer to your victory, to my victory, is your pursuit of God. The answer to your wayward sons and daughters is your pursuit of God. The answer to your sick and hurting, ill-filled bodies is the presence of God. Are you in a situation? I know we focus on those things. But maybe you're sitting here tonight and good Lord, you ain't got 2 red cents to rub together. And you don't know how in the world you're going to be taken care of. Your answer is in the presence of God. Did you hear me? Every month you've got more bills left over than you do money. It doesn't matter. Your answer is in the presence of God. What do you mean? You mean he's the kind of God that I'm telling you he's the kind of God. I have seen with my own eyes the kind of God that'll just do things. I always go to this because it's very important to me. I was one, I'm one of 8 children. Right in the middle. So you know my plight. Mom and Dad. See, Dad was a drunk when he came to Jesus. Him and Mom got saved. Oddly enough, in a little Assembly of God church on a Sunday morning. And somewhere down the line, Dad felt the call to preach the gospel. Shocking everybody that knew him. Are you sure? There were state overseers and leaders of this denomination that wouldn't even pay him any mind. It brushed him off to the side. But one guy that had an ounce of faith in him said, "Brother Cooley, if you really feel like this, then I'm going to give you an opportunity." And he gave him an opportunity. And the rest, shall we say, is history. We were living in a, I don't know of a nice way to say it, but we were living in a dump called a parsonage. I mean, it was a dump. It made you wonder if these people even loved God. It was such a bad place to live. And things were hard. I mean, we've gone through some things. Pastor talked about pioneers and things. I mean, we pastored some churches that... And it got tough. And oh, it was around Christmas time. This is the truth. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I remember Mom had made supper for all of us kids. I won't tell you what it is because it's just not important, but it wasn't. And we all sat down and we all were eating. I noticed a somber tone about Mom. She was in the kitchen and she had waited until she had fed all eight of the kids and got Dad his, and then she got hers. And one of the kids had finished up theirs and had gone into the living room. And I'll never forget it. I won't say who the kid was. It's not important. Just because it was me. And went into the living room and I said something or another about, you know, "Mom, do you have any more?" My mom broke out crying. I didn't know. None of us knew that she had prepared us our last meal. Talking about the provision of God. We didn't have no idea what in the world was going on. Mom couldn't even sit in the same room. She got up and ran into another room and was weeping. Not knowing what to do. When all of a sudden a knock came at the door. God laid it on some little 4 foot nothing lady driving a great big old station wagon. Had that thing loaded with groceries from front to back. She come knocking on the door, "Brother Cooley, Brother Cooley, Brother Cooley, would you come outside, please?" She said, "I went to the grocery store a little earlier and I was picking up a few things." She said, "The Holy Ghost moved on me. And she said, the Holy Ghost told me that I was to fill up my station wagon with groceries and that I was to bring them to your house. Do you think you could send some of them young boys out here and help me unload this thing?" You never seen boys move so fast in all of your life. God provided. Because Mom and Dad were in pursuit of God. And I don't know what you're sitting in. I don't know what you need. Maybe it's a healing in your body. And you prayed a long time and you still haven't got the answer that you need. I don't know any better than to obey the Lord. And He just said to come by and tell you tonight, your answer is in the presence of God. Your pursuit of God's holy presence, which was what the pursuit of the ark was. How fast are you running? How diligent are you searching? Maybe you're going to be like David and you're going to hear about God blessing somebody else over here and it's going to start making you hungry. Every day they'd come to him, "David, you got to see this man. God's blessing this man and we don't like coming telling you about it much anymore because it's happening so much we don't know what to do." You can read the rest of the scriptures. David came to a point where he said, "Enough's enough." I'll ask you tonight, are you at that point yet? Is enough enough? And the Bible says, and this is all it said, David went and got the ark. If God can bless Obed-Edom and all that pertains to him, then God can bless me. Over 2,000 years ago, on a day we call the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of God came down as an answer to a promise from God into an upper room where about 120 people were residing. And they had been actively praying. Notice my verbiage. Actively praying. They were actively seeking God. They were actively holding Him for His promise. Jesus ascended before them and He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry until you receive the promise. Do you have it in you tonight to tarry for the promise? What is the promise? The promise is everything that God promised them, He promised us. I'm going to say it again. The promise is everything that God promised them, He promised us. We used to sing a little chorus when I was growing up. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. For I'm trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Huh. I didn't plan on singing that, but that touched me. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. For I'm trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Do you believe that tonight? Will you change your pursuit? I don't know what you're pursuing. I don't know if it's a better job. I don't know if it's a better house. I don't know if it's a better car. God knows I could use a few of them. It's another story. But my pursuit is not after those things. My pursuit is after Him who fashioned the worlds with just His word. Hallelujah. My pursuit is after Him who called light into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. My pursuit is after Him who said that if you will lay everything down, pick up your cross and follow me, I will take care of you. They came to a place. David, he did it over again. I give him credit. He went and got all the singers again. He went and got all the musicians again, and he got them all in their place, and they're going to have a parade. Doesn't matter if the devil likes it or not, they're going to have a parade. They're going to glorify God. But the Bible says this time David went to the Word and he found out the right way to do it. There weren't going to be no more Uzzahs putting their hand to touch the ark of God and they die. There just wasn't going to be any more of it. I have gone back to the way and I have found it. You say, Brother Cooley, how do I get to this place? Three things. It first comes by heartfelt prayer. Secondly, it comes by the Word of God. And thirdly, it comes through obedience. I'm going to say it again. Prayer, the Word of God, and obedience. You can't do without all three of them. Did you hear me tonight? You can't just do one. You can't, listen, I don't mean to downscale prayer at all. Please believe me, but it's true what I'm saying.
You can pray until you're blue in the face and it doesn't mean a thing if it's not enjoined with the Word of God. Did you hear me? And you can pray all the prayers that you want to pray that are enjoined with the Word of God, but if you don't obey them, you will not be drawn closer to Him. And when you're not drawn closer to Him, your hunger wanes. And when your hunger and your thirst wanes, the powers of darkness smell it like blood in the water. They hunt the precious life, the Bible says. Did you know that? If you're under attack from the enemy, it's not because you're no good. It's because you're the precious life. Oh, I bet you never heard that. Let's go over that again. The Bible says that Satan hunts the precious life. And if you're being attacked by Satan and his demonic henchmen, let me tell you tonight, it's because you're the precious life. You're important to God. It's not enough to tell you that He loves you. It's not enough to tell you all these great things about God. He proved it all. He proved it all when He went to the cross. When it would have been a whole lot easier to walk away, He stretched out His arms. When it would have been easier to say, Lord, strike them down for what they're doing to me. Rather, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He has proved it. And now it's your turn to pursue. Let me close on this. They got to a place. And I need to say this the right way. There was no choreography. I'm going to talk about burrs under my saddle. These people that say they're dancing in the Spirit, and you know doggone well that's as choreographed as you've ever seen it, and you know it, and they know it. They came to a place, and David was so filled with joy. And I'll remind you, it was not a move of the flesh, because he was in the divine presence of God. For that's what the ark was. And the Bible says that they played before the Lord, their music and their singing. And David was so filled with joy. The Bible says he danced before the Lord with all his might. And he was wearing a linen ephod. You know what that is? Priestly garments that they would wear before they would go in to minister into their service into the holy place. He was not wearing his king's robe. He was not wearing his king's crown. He was not there to be a spectacle. He was there to minister. When you come into this edifice and we begin to play the musical instruments, we begin to sing the songs, are you looking for a blessing or are you looking to minister? David was ministering unto the Lord. And he danced before the Lord with all, he didn't know what else to do. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been there where you just didn't know what else to do? I'm closing. I said I was. It's true. I'm on my way. I was 16 years old, I think. And because I was the lesser child, oh, it's true. There might have been a reason for that, but it's still true. I was down in the basement, my room. older brothers had gone off. And I was down in the damp, dark basement. But I had gotten saved. And I don't even remember the name of the album, but I had an old record player down there. I found one of Dad's Jimmy Swaggart albums. I'm down in this. I had Christmas lights all year round because that was all the lights I had. Red Christmas light. Red's my favorite color. You and I ride a motorcycle too. It's all good. And I was down in this basement, and I was the black sheep. I didn't have a lot of dealings with Mom and Dad and the others, but I was down there, and I had been saved. And I was so hungry for the Lord. I didn't know what to do, so I put on the only spiritual thing I knew, and I put on this old Jimmy Swaggart album. Had a black fellow that sang with him, traveled with him, called Fred Johnson, out of New York City. And on this album, he sang this song, and you've heard us sing it from time to time. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over, over and over again. And I can hear it now, Fred singing it over and over again. I keep falling in love with him, over and over and over and over again. And I kid you not, I was standing there hungering more than I've ever hungered in all my life at 17, 16 years of age. The Holy Ghost came down in that place. And I danced before the Lord with all of my might. I never did know how to dance, so they couldn't accuse me of choreography. I got two left feet when it comes to that. But I danced before the Lord with all of my might. The Lord reminded me of that the other day. That it was when I was in His presence. David was married to Saul's daughter Michal. Michal was looking through a window and she saw David dancing before the Lord. And the Bible says she despised him in her heart. I'm just looking up. You better be careful what you despise. I'm going to say it again. Don't you sneer at this old-fashioned Pentecostal way. You better be awful careful what you despise in your heart. The Bible says because of that, her womb was dried up until she died. She bore no fruit. Because she despised it in her heart. Be careful what you despise. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Dale, just play whatever the Spirit of the Lord will put on your heart. I'm an old songy person. It's an old song we used to sing. Oh, I've never traveled far around the world. I've never seen its many sights to me unfurl. But I've taken my journey of journeys for me up Calvary's mountain. There my Savior to see. I've been to Calvary. I can say I've seen the Lord. I have been in His presence. And so I know what David did.
I've been on the flip side of that, and I know what it means to touch the presence of God and not be in the right spirit and not be in the right place. And it brings nothing but death. But oh, when you get Him and you get Him back in the right place, which in case if you don't understand what I'm saying, it's in your heart. David got the ark and he got it back in its rightful place. What are you waiting for? Some of you push this Holy Spirit thing off like it's just one of those things. Be careful what you despise. For it is the power of God. Did you hear me? It is the power of God. It is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. It's what you need for whatever it is that you're facing. I love it. The same answer meets all of the needs. The same answer answers every difficult question. It's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Are you still seeking for an upper hand in your relationships? Or are you willing to submit it all to the Lord and say, Lord, I just want to follow your leading? Are you still holding on to your grudges? Are you still holding on to your stuff? Does it make you feel powerful? You know as well as I do, you're miserable. Are you done being miserable? Are you done being miserable? Because there's a place right in your backyard called the presence of God. It's been neglected and it's been there a long time, but if you'll go out and cut the weeds down, if you'll go out and begin to take care of it, if you'll go out and begin to show respect unto God for His presence, I promise you His power will accompany it. As your pastor said this morning, the power of God, the holiness of God never left the ark of God even though it was abandoned. And they found out when they picked it up that He was still there. I don't know where you're at tonight, but God knows where you are. And He knows exactly what you're going through. You might think you need this or that, but really you don't really. You just need His presence. His presence fixes everything. Everything. I want you to bow your heads, please. I hear you, Lord. The Holy Spirit's wanting to touch somebody here tonight. I'm just going to make it simple. If this message has spoken to you in any way, I want you to just get out of your seat. And I want you to come and stand down the front down here tonight. When you get up here, I wonder if you could just lift your hands in the air. And I want you to begin to cry out to Him. If you need to repent, repent. If you need to ask forgiveness, ask forgiveness. He's here to help you tonight. If you need God to turn your situation around, I want you to begin to cry out to Him right now and ask Him. Ask Him for His presence. Ask Him for His presence. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Don't wander around anymore. He's come to meet your needs tonight. Come on, cry out to Him. Cry out to Him. Forget who's around you and cry out to Him tonight.